I sat in the college classroom in which the professor, pseudo-intellectual beanhead, tried to convince us that the chairs that we were sitting in were not real. Now, I'm a simple-minded guy who has much to learn in life, but I knew that the chair that I was sitting on was real. I thought to myself, I've paid money to listen to this nut. He claimed he actually got his ideas from Plato. He pranced around the room as if he were setting forth something very profound. I thought, this guy has lost his mind. This was a professor of higher education. There's no greater waste of time, money, or energy, and no greater danger to Christianity than studying worldly philosophy. I'm talking about the kind of philosophy that attempts to downplay, demean, or leave God out of the equation. Worldly philosophy and worldly philosophers have been deceiving the masses even before the days of the Apostle Paul. Philosophy is strange. It's abstract. In fact, it's so abstract that you can't even define it. The word literally means love of wisdom, but it's a term that has come to stand for the worldly efforts of humans who've tried to figure out the universe and life and the ultimate good. Human philosophy goes nowhere. It accomplishes nothing. It is nothing more than pooled ignorance. For example, Plato taught that sense perception is not the real world. Reality is found in pure thought. Aristotle came along and thought that Plato had a screw missing, and he taught that form matter was tangible and that was what was really real. And on it goes. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Colossians, believed in learning. Paul believed in systematic teaching. Paul believed in the acquisition of deep knowledge, but specific knowledge of God and His Word. He believed the most valuable thing the believer could do was to pursue an understanding of the deep things of God, and he believed this emphasis ought to exist in the church. The Colossians were being swayed by a bunch of smooth-talking religious intellectuals who were trying to pull them away from the Word of God into their, what they would call, higher way of educational thinking. These religious intellectuals sounded pious, they sounded scholarly. The threat to this church was that secular wisdom and philosophy was beginning to pull people away from the true, pure, biblical focus and Word of God. So when Paul writes Colossians 2, 8-10, what he says is never allow any person, no matter how intellectual or scholarly or smooth, to draw you away from the truth of God and focus on Jesus Christ. Now, the assumption of Colossians 2, 8-10 is that there will be those who will attempt to draw you away from this focus. They will be smooth, they will seem to be scholarly, and they will be seductive. They will make their way of thinking seem logical and rational, but it will not be biblical. God wants His people focused on the Word of God and on a relationship with Jesus Christ. The most important learning you will ever get is a learning about God and the Word of God. And even though the world says 15 or 16 hours a week in college classroom that's focused on higher learning and philosophy is what really counts, God would say 4 hours a week in church that's focused on learning the Word of God is the highest form of learning that there is. Frankly, we're living in a time when most of Christianity is being taken captive. Many churches are departing from a systematic teaching and preaching of the Word of God. I know of one church who says, well, we don't want to preach anymore because we want all people to feel good. I know a man who went looking for a church in the West, trying to find one church that would systematically teach books of the Bible, and as yet he has not found one. I just heard of a person who said, we need more from a church than just preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We need other things. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this is vain philosophy that's trying to pull people away from the truth. Now, the main charge that Paul sets forth comes from verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. That verb, see to it, is a strong warning against allowing anyone to take you captive away from the Word of God and from a focus on Jesus Christ. That word captive in this context refers to an enemy of God's truth who will try and captivate you and carry you off and away from what is true. They will try to actually get you to move away from the Word of God and from a focus on a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul's warning to us is that there will be an enemy that will try to captivate you and move you away from a wonderful relationship with God. And I want you to notice as you look at verse 8 of Colossians 2, who is responsible to see to it that you're not taken captive? You. You're responsible. You see to it. You guard yourself. Frankly, the enemy's of victory are, and the spoils of victory are piling up. Churches, theological institutions, homes, individuals are all being swayed to turn from a focus on the pure Word of God and from a pure focus on Jesus Christ. He is, in most instances, winning the war. I know believers who wouldn't think of missing college class or some type of counseling class, but they could care less if they are regular in going to churches that carefully teach them the Word of God. What is needed today is not more education, but biblical education. It is not a degree that will earn you rewards in heaven. It is a deep understanding of the Word of God and a deep relationship with Jesus Christ that will earn great rewards in heaven. Satan is out to take the whole world captive, but may it never be with you. Now the preposition through in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through, introduces the means by which God's people will be attacked in an attempt to take them captive, specifically through the philosophy and empty deception. In the original, there is an article, the, written once, which goes with both nouns, meaning that the idea is one. In other words, the philosophy that will try to take one captive is empty deception. Philosophy and empty deception are the same according to the Word of God. Humanistic philosophy is empty deception. It will deceive you and move you away from God. Now let me say, I'm for education. I'm for learning. I'm for expanding one's mind. But I'm for doing that in the context of what is right and true about God. That is legitimate learning. But when a system tries to move God out of the equation of it, it's nothing but pure folly. Now the Greek word for philosophy, philosophia, literally means love of wisdom. And the specific love of wisdom to which Paul is referring is the wisdom that was added to and contrary to the revelation of God. Various educational lures were tugging at the Colossians' heart, particularly a Gnostic philosophy and heresy which taught that there was a deeper way to gain knowledge other than through the Bible. In other words, what the Colossians were being swayed to believe is there's a scholarly way to really approach God other than just through the understanding of the Scriptures. And it was enticing people, but it was leading them astray. Let me read you the words of Dr. H.A. Ironside, who wrote these words back in 1929. It is a sad commentary on conditions of Christendom that in the average theological seminary, far more time is given to the study of philosophy than to searching the Scriptures. Christianity owes no debt to Greek, Roman, medieval, or modern philosophy. A man can be well-furnished minister of Jesus Christ who's never heard the names of the great philosophers, whether pagan or Christian, and who is utterly ignorant of their systems and hypotheses, providing he will study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The truest culture, intellectual or spiritual, is that which is drawn from the constant study of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a deceived world, filled with deceived churches who are being taken captive. I know of a church that believes counseling and programs are more important than a careful study of the Word of God. I could name you a person who believes a course on money management is more necessary in a church than doctrine. I know of a pastor who thinks scholastic achievement is far more significant than a careful analysis of the 66 books that God put in writing. Philosophy and empty deception is working here and now. See to it that no one takes you captive. And when you go to church, ladies and gentlemen, you should expect, you should demand that you be fed the Word of God. Not a political agenda, not some type of promotional gimmickry, not some type of program. You should be fed the Word of God because that's what will make you stable. Now, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, there are three important prepositional phrases that Paul uses which give us further information as to how philosophy and empty deceit captivate a believer and pull him down. Literally, the preposition according to has the root meaning of down. So these phrases inform us what philosophy is and what it does and how it pulls one down. Prepositional phrase number one, philosophy and empty deception is according to the tradition of men. I'm reading from Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men. Now that word tradition speaks of handing over and transmitting the teachings and doctrines of men as opposed to the teachings and doctrines of God. In other words, what will pull people away from truth is when one man hands another man-made system of his own traditional beliefs to another man, and they just keep handing that on. This goes on all the time. Mormonism, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young handed it. Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles Russell handed his system over. In Islam, it was Muhammad. In Scientology, it was Ron Hubbard. A false system always is based on the traditions of men. False philosophy and concepts come from men. One sinful man hands his ideas over to another sinful man. They're man-centered, not God-centered. Humanistic reasoning is filled with deceit. It's filled with conceit. It's filled with lies and errors. It may have partial truth, but it is not completely and totally true. It's made up and taught and defended by sinful men who do not know God. J. Vernon McGee said that's why he refused to teach anything topically in his church. J. Vernon McGee said, that's why I always preached the Word of God systematically, book by book. He was fully convinced that this was the only system devised by God, not man. Any other method of preaching and teaching is man-made. Now, McGee also observed that he personally knew several people who went to seminars and conferences, who had all kinds of notebooks filled with information, who never went anywhere in their spiritual lives because they were not being properly taught. They sat down and they listened to things that had been made up and invented by men. They took notes, but these were not real notes coming from the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, no seminar, no conference, no little shot-in-the-arm series will ever replace systematic, careful teaching and understanding of the Word of God. All of us know of those who run around to seminars and camps and various conferences, and they never get anywhere. They have their notes and notebooks in the drawer, but their spiritual lives are in an immature rut. Why is that? In many instances, they're responding to the traditions of men, and they're not really being taught the deep, pure things of God. Traditions and ideas of men will not strengthen you, but the Word of God will. It's God's truth that will set you free. The second prepositional phrase is philosophy and empty deception is according to the elementary principles of the world. I'm reading from Colossians 2:8, according to the elementary principles of the world. Now those words, elementary principles, literally refer to elementary sounds and elements of the lost world. The term refers to a very basic and very elementary level knowledge. It would be like learning to pronounce the vowels or learning the ABCs. Paul is basically saying this, any learning that is not based on the Word of God and on a relationship with Jesus Christ and an accurate understanding of who He is very surface level and shallow. What the world deems as scholarly, God deems as shallow. God deems as elementary. If you really want depth, if you really want stability and strength, we must give ourselves to digging deep into the Bible. We must give ourselves to understanding the precious Word of God. That is where real depth is found. Anything else is surface level and elementary when compared to that. I have on occasion been privileged to witness the rehabilitation of stroke victims. One of the saddest things that I ever saw was a very dear man of God who had to learn how to recognize a square peg and how to put it in a square hole. Now this man in his life had been responsible for major construction and engineering projects. In fact, he was the manager. He was the boss. Now he was in a hospital lab back to square one, trying to identify something round and something square and put it in a round or square hole. We did that in kindergarten. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something sadder than that. There are many believers who are still in kindergarten. They are being swayed by worldly thinking and worldly ideas. They are, spiritually speaking, still in elementary school, and it's time for them to grow up. Dr. John MacArthur said of this phrase, elementary principles of the world, that to abandon biblical truth for empty philosophy is like returning to kindergarten after earning a doctorate. When you have a hunger to hear the deeper things of God, when you have an appetite for deep knowledge of God's Word, you're beginning to grow. But when your focus of learning is on something else other than the Scriptures, especially in the context of the religious world, you need to realize that you're being taken captive away from what really counts. You're losing ground, you're losing strength, because you're hung up on elementary things. The third prepositional phrase is philosophy and empty deception is not according to Jesus Christ at the end of verse 8, rather than according to Christ. It's not according to Christ. And if it's not according to Christ, it may be popular, it may be powerful, but it isn't true. It's a lie. Philosophy is not designed to make a person more Christ-centered. It's designed to take you away from Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. Worldly philosophy is not designed to take you into a deep understanding of the Word of God. It's not according to truth pertaining to Jesus Christ. And the clear implication of this is that, in the mind of the Apostle Paul, the only way to spiritual knowledge and growth, the according to Christ method, which includes growing in Him, is a total focus on the Word of God. There is the methodology that God sanctions for real growth. Dr. John Eady said in his famous commentary on Colossians, "Any new doctrine may be safely tested by the estimation in which it holds of Christ. For all that is false and dangerous in speculation invariably strives to lower His rank and official dignity, and therefore is neither source, spirit, substance, or tendency according to Him." Mark this point and mark it well in your mind. Worldly philosophy is always designed to take one away from Jesus Christ and away from the truth of God. It is not according to Christ. It is not after Christ. In fact, if you don't believe that, read some of the philosophers' views as to who they thought Jesus Christ really was. Or better yet, ask your philosophy or psychology professor who he thinks Jesus Christ was and listen to the nonsense of their answers. It will become immediately apparent to you that their system of education, their way of thinking, is not according to Jesus Christ and not according to the Word of God. It's according to their self, to their secular humanistic learning system that they receive from some other unregenerate individual who was caught up in some vain philosophy. You'll hear them say he was a good man, he was a good teacher, he was a good example, but they'll never tell you that he was the God of the Bible. They will tell you that he had fine morals. He was kind of an intellectual type of guy. He had a good personality. But they will not say to you that he's all you need in your life. They'll never tell you that he's the only way to heaven. They will tamper with him. They'll demean him. They'll lessen him. And they'll try to deceive you. False philosophy, false psychology, false sociology will never be according to Jesus Christ. It will never make you more Christ-centered. Now, in Colossians 2, 9-10... Paul clearly states two reasons why we must see to it that we must never allow philosophy to deceptively captivate us and move us away from our focus on Jesus Christ and from our focus on the Word of God. I'm reading from Colossians 2, 9, "For in Him, that is in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Jesus Christ was under attack when Paul wrote these verses. People were saying he wasn't enough. Christ wasn't enough to really make you right with God. Christ wasn't enough to really give you a totality of a relationship with God. So you needed Christ plus circumcision, Christ plus baptism, Christ plus legal rites, Christ plus asceticism. Now I want you to see what is said in Colossians 2:9. That word deity is a rare Greek word. It's only used here in the New Testament. It is even a stronger word than the word divine nature, which is used in Romans 1. This word is clearly stating, ladies and gentlemen, and you can get any type of Greek grammar and Greek lexicon, and you'll see that I'm telling you absolutely the truth. This word is stating that all the fullness of deity inhabits or lives in bodily form in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, the totality of God, including His power, His attributes, His qualities and essence, completely and fully exist in bodily form in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the fullness of deity always existed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was always fully and completely God. But the fullness of deity did not always exist in bodily form. That blessed event began in Bethlehem and continues to exist to this very day, because He forever exists now in bodily form. Only now His body is glorious. Ladies and gentlemen, let your eyes carefully look at Colossians 2:9 and let your mind carefully reflect on what this verse says. Read it and understand it. Jesus Christ was not a mere man. Jesus Christ was not some exalted angel. Jesus Christ was not a step down from God. He was and is fully God. Thus says the Word of God in Colossians 2:9, He is 100% God. And Paul's point to the Colossians is, you see to it that no one seduces you away from this truth. Don't let some study of worldly philosophy captivate you and pull you away from this wonderful, glorious idea. You have a book, the Bible, that will unfold for you the deepest mysteries and truths that you will ever read concerning the ultimate person to ever live. So why waste your time learning about vain philosophers when you can invest your time studying and learning about the only person who was completely and fully God, Jesus Christ? The most valuable pursuit, I am convinced, is the pursuit of a deep knowledge about Him. I can personally testify to that. I have studied various things in my life. I've been interested in reading all kinds of data. I want to tell you the thing that has revolutionized my life, the thing that has given my life meaning and depth, is an understanding of the Scriptures. The highest and deepest level of learning that any mind can pursue is a deep knowledge about God that is based on the Word of God. There's nothing higher or deeper than any person can go after, because this is the written Word of God. I flopped around in college, in radio, in businesses for years, but life took on wonderful meaning when I got serious about Jesus Christ and serious about understanding the 66 books of the Bible. Now, the second reason why we must see to it that we never allow anyone to deceptively captivate us from this focus is in verse 10, because the fullness of Christ is in us. Verse 10 says, "And in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority." Ladies and gentlemen, you are complete in Jesus Christ. That is, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have a full and complete relationship with Almighty God. It's not Christ plus religion. It's not Christ plus membership. It's not Christ plus circumcision or baptism or catechism. Christ is enough. A full and complete relationship with God is not found in academics. It is not found in worldly philosophy. It is not found in personal achievement or religion. It is fully and completely found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you have Christ in your life, you are complete, and you have the potential to develop and grow to great levels of spiritual depth and maturity. Christ is the head over everything. There is none higher than Him. When you have Christ in your life, you have been made complete. You lack nothing in your relationship with God. Jesus Christ and the Word of God are all you need to give you purpose and meaning, to give you a great standing in the mind of God. Everything in a Christian's life depends upon what you think concerning Jesus Christ and what you've done concerning your relationship with Him. Jesus Christ is the head of everything. He is the designer, according to Colossians 1:16. He designed all things. He's the creator, Colossians 1:16. He actually made all things. And He's the sustainer, Colossians 1:17. He's the one who holds all things together. He's the ruler, according to Colossians 2:10. And He is the conqueror, according to Colossians 2:15. Jesus Christ is head of all things. He is the Lord of all of life. He's like Lanny Wolf wrote, "He's more than amazing. He's more than marvelous. He's more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful." That's what Jesus is to me. Why would anyone want to devote himself to the postulations, the suppositions, the contemplations, the meditations, and reflections of humanistic philosophers, when you can actually devote yourself to not only learning about Him, but cultivating a relationship with the living God through a relationship with Jesus Christ? He is fully God. He is the head of all things. When you make the primary pursuit of your life anything but God's Word and Jesus Christ, you're shortchanging yourself. You're not in higher education, you're in lesser education. There is no higher education than a deep knowledge of the Word of God based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest knowledge you can ever gain in this life is a deep knowledge of God's precious Word. He went to the trouble to put 66 precious books in print. These come from the mind of Almighty God. There is no greater area of study than this book. The greatest person you can ever learn about is the person of Jesus Christ. None of us can even measure up to His standards. The greatest relationship that you can ever cultivate in your life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And see to it that no one takes you captive from these realities. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so many things that are taking place now that are invented by men. And one of them occurs often in religious arenas. For example, we call it an altar call. Can you show me anywhere in the New Testament where it is said that in the church services that we should beg a bunch of people to get up in front of everybody else and come down in front of everybody else and weep and cry and raise their hands and repeat some words? That's nowhere in the Bible. That's based on traditions of men. As near as I can track that through history, that started out east a couple hundred years ago. It was invented by men. But here is the truth. What you do need is Jesus Christ in your life. You don't have to walk down an aisle of a church, and you don't need to weep and cry in front of a bunch of people. What you do need is to invite Jesus Christ into your life. And if you've never done that, you can do that right now. In the privacy of this moment, wherever you're listening to this, no matter whether you're at home, whether you're in a car, whether you're out somewhere in a store, I don't know where you're at, but wherever you're listening to this, you can take a moment right now and you can enter into a full and wonderful relationship with God by simply acknowledging to God that you're a sinner and acknowledging to God that you're casting all of your faith on Jesus Christ at this very moment to be your Savior, to save you from all your sins. And if you want to really blossom in your life, I mean if you want to really take your mind to a level that it's never been before, you get your focus on understanding the wonderful teachings from the Word of God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as you focus your mind on coming to terms with these books of the Bible, you will discover that you will become full in a relationship with Him. Jesus Christ could not be painted any higher or holier than the picture Paul paints of Him in the book of Colossians. He is more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's not only what Jesus is to me, but that's what He is according to the Word of God. Father, we pray You take Your precious Word today and work in the minds and hearts of all who listen and hear. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would draw people close to You, and we pray that we would come to appreciate so much the value of a relationship we have with Him. In Jesus' name, amen.